Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. One of the main headlines from the past couple of weeks involved a group of children, boys, stuck and trapped in a cave in Thailand.
You know, they entered the monastery yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Their heads were shaved and they entered the monastery. And I didn't know whether that was part of their plan or I have to check and see, because there was an announcement made that they became novices.
Oh.
Yeah, in the Buddhist monastery.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I didn't know anything about that. We will check and see. But, yes, this is from the headlines, which everybody knew about because
right.
it grabbed worldwide attention, when these boys apparently went into a cave with their coach, but then because it's the rainy season in Thailand, one of the entrances or the entrances that they used to get into the cave was blocked by water, filled up
right.
with water. Didn't reach them. So they were in a pocket in the cave, but they had to go through this water in order to get out of the cave.
Right.
Okay. And so first of all, and because it was the rainy season, eventually the cave was going to, the whole thing was going to fill up with water and they would have drowned. So it became a dramatic rescue effort over several weeks. They were in there for almost 2 weeks, 13 days or something. So, so this has been in the news and we've all heard about it. This particular article is about what happens to these boys now.
Right.
Will they be traumatized by this event? Are there any lasting physical effects from being in that environment for that long? And also, is there going to be psychological trauma that they're going to have to deal with for the rest of their lives? This was a traumatic event for these boys. I mean, there was some serious doubt as to whether they were going to be able to get out or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a... It's interesting to talk about it today because next week we are going on a trip to the Philippines to speak at a conference, and we will be making a stop very quickly in Thailand, and we won't really have a chance to go around the countryside at all. But
and if we did, we wouldn't go in. We wouldn't go spelunking.
I would not go spelunking.
No,
but especially not during the rainy season.
I have a little bit of claustrophobia. It's in my family. Some of my family members have some serious claustrophobia. You know who they are.
I do.
And so I have a tad of it. I have absolutely no desire to go into a cave.
Yeah.
Like cave diving that they do in Florida. A lot of people do cave diving. No, there's no way I would. There's no way I would go scuba diving in a cave.
No.
Too many things can go wrong. So, but these boys went into the cave, they were with a coach, and they were exploring. And it was a football team.
Yeah, soccer team, yeah.
Soccer team.
So, but you're right. You know, when we look at this situation, and we think about what is in store for these boys, but, you know, what can we, you know, collectively take from this experience? What can we learn from this experience that these boys had? There are some pretty powerful messages that we can get from it. In this column from Psychology Today, again, the link is in the show notes, it talks about whether or not post-traumatic stress disorder and you know, trauma-based issues are inevitable for these kids.
Have you ever been in an automobile accident?
No.
Okay.
Well, when I was a very small kid, but I don't remember it at all.
You know, even a single automobile accident can leave you with fears.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean, we know a lot of people who have been in a single automobile accident, even a non-fatal automobile accident, who just are traumatized by it. And so these events like this can leave us traumatized. And we talk about PTSD and things like that. And so there were all these questions about how are these boys going to be emotionally, or will they be traumatized to the point that this experience will have lifelong effects.
Right. And you know, the short answer to that, of course, is not necessarily.
Not necessarily, right.
We tend to assume, we tend to, you know, automatically
assume
that if a person experiences something traumatic, that they are going to have PTSD or trauma-based related issues.
That's right.
And it's not necessarily the case. Right. I think one of the major things that comes from this entire story is the idea of resilience.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's the word.
Mm-hmm. The power of resilience is immeasurable, because when we are resilient, when we have mm-hmm. those factors associated with resilience, it we can overcome a lot of issues. We can overcome a lot of trauma.
That's right. We have to develop this ability to get over mm-hmm. what is bothering us, what maybe traumatizes us. Mm-hmm. I think it's a life skill that we ought to be thinking more about. I know children who have been traumatized by lightning storms.
Right.
Because the fear has been galvanized in them. Either by a family member or a grandparent or somebody, and they develop a real fear of lightning mm-hmm. storms. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to be afraid of a lightning storm.
Right.
We're not born, there's not a genetic fear of mm-hmm. Electrical storms, but it can be created.
Right.
Instead of undoing it and making a person more resilient, frequently we galvanize these fears mm-hmm. and they're there for a long time, perhaps forever.
Right, yeah.
We should be building resilience.
Right.
Let's get over it.
Right. So when it, you know, kind of pulling back to this particular situation with the boys in the cave, mm-hmm. there's many ways in which we can build resilience. And I love what this author talks about when he says that the key factor in their potential resilience mm-hmm. is their social connections.
Social connections, right.
You know, it would have been so different had it been one or two or three boys in there by themselves,
right,
as compared to the entire team with their mm-hmm. coach,
right,
so they can pull together and have those social connections to keep each other comforted and secure mm-hmm.
and I'm sure that I'm sure many other people share this who were following this story. When we first heard about it, mm-hmm. our first thought was, oh my God, these kids are going to be ruined for life. This is going to scar them for life. As the story was told, as it unfolded, suddenly they had these aluminum capes, these mm-hmm, covers mm-hmm. of blankets, aluminum blankets, to stay. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. And then they had these divers, these professional mm-hmm. divers going in. So they had some adults going in. And then we heard about, it was a soccer team. Mm-hmm. It was a group of boys who knew each other.
Right.
And so gradually you got these messages that this is just wasn't a group of kids loosely affiliated with each other who were out fooling around. This was a soccer team. The coach mm-hmm. was with them. They were in communication with other people. And so what this author is saying is that's what increased. It was those ingredients that increased the possibility of resilience.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other week we talked about we covered an article on the relationship between alcohol or substance abuse, addiction, mm-hmm. and social connectedness.
Right.
You know, that when we feel isolated, when we don't feel connected to other people, we're at risk mm-hmm. for some of these mental health issues and substance abuse issues and addiction and things like that. This is sort of the other side of it, that when we are socially connected, it can build and create a sense and a tendency towards resilience mm-hmm. that can help us overcome so many obstacles that could otherwise be pretty impairing for us.
You know, last year, we did a special on 13 Reasons.
Right.
Okay. And the recurring theme in that was this girl mm-hmm. felt isolated.
Right.
It wasn't so much the abuse that was heaped mm-hmm. on her, it was the fact that she was isolated. Her closest friend was the young man,
mm-hmm.
Clay. But they never really connected. Mm-hmm. You know, they had what should have been a relationship, but it never materialized. Even the person she was closest to, they never really connected.
Right.
And so it's a story, 13 Reasons is a story of a girl who felt isolated. And mm-hmm. we know all about isolation and how the damage that it can do. This story is about the other end. So 13 Reasons is about complete isolation. Mm-hmm. This story is about social connections and the advantages that being connected to others provide for us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and we really need to do season 2 of 13 Reasons.
It's pretty good.
There's actually, it is really good. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of other series that we really need to cover also. Mm-hmm. So, So the strongest factor related to resilience, especially in this particular situation, was that those social connections. Their coach was there who was helpful for them. Their teammates were there, which was helpful for them. And as you said, you know, you had these divers and other people coming in to kind of reassure them that that help was on its way.
That's right. And it's curiously, this coach had been I think he was trained as a Buddhist monk.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. So he was able to keep them calm because he used his training as a monk. You know, as luck would have it.
Right.
This guy knows about mindfulness, the mindfulness tradition. So rather than panic setting in to these boys, he was able to keep all of them very calm using what he had learned as a as a trained monk.
Yeah. Okay?
And that may be why they're going into the monastery, because it may have been part of their I don't know. I have to check. So the coach brought that set of skills. And then the fact that it was a team.
Right.
So they had...
They knew each other.
They knew each other, right? Yeah. They knew each other. They knew their habits. They were friends. They supported each other. And so that was a second factor. And then the third were these professionals who came in, you know, the divers. And sadly, one of them died during the rescue.
Yeah.
One of the divers died, but they had the rescuers there who were also supportive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the coach had lived in a Buddhist monastery.
Yeah.
You know, so he had all those skills.
Yeah.
And so, what these three things—the coach who kept them calm, the fact that they were a team, and the rescuers—and they were brought food and liquids and things that they needed to stay hydrated. So they kept them physically healthy. Mm-hmm. What this did is it gave them the feeling that they were in control.
Right.
And that's the other part of this, is that it's when you lack the ability to do anything. And I think about 13 Reasons again. Mm-hmm. She never got control of her situation.
Right.
She was always a victim, which some people didn't like, the fact that she was so much of a victim. But it shows that side, that when you don't have control, it is when you start to get into problems. These boys had the feeling that people were there and they were being taken care of.
Right.
There's another good story about a cave-in somewhere in Latin America, coal miners. Mm-hmm. were trapped in the underground, and they didn't know that anybody was looking for them. They thought that they had been abandoned, and so it's a very different dynamic. They started to fight with each other in the coal mine, and it's a very different dynamic because they felt
panic.
That they didn't have control.
Right. Well, and we're going to talk tomorrow, on tomorrow's podcast, we're going to talk about another situation that's loosely similar.
Well, it's funny that these two stories were in the news at the same time.
Right. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about that. And we're going to look at the other side of what happens when we don't have control, when we, when things, separations and things are imposed upon us, and what that does to our emotions and outcome.
The other thing that I thought about during this thing, which I found fascinating, I forget how old these boys were. I think they were younger than 12, weren't they?
Somewhere around there,
yeah. They were taught, they had to be taught how to scuba dive. Have you ever taken scuba lessons?
Mm-hmm.
It ain't easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. The equipment's very, very heavy. It's not easy to do, and you're not supposed to scuba dive before you're a certain age because your lungs aren't developed sufficiently.
Right.
There's too much pressure in the tank compared to your lungs. And as they were talking about training these boys in scuba, I thought, that is a challenge in itself.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But again, it gave the boys a sense of control
that I
can do this.
Right.
And you know, then they had to learn how to do it. So all of these factors combined maybe is going to lead to a pretty good outcome for these boys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the other story is what happened to the migrants, the immigrants who came into the country, and they were stripped of all control immediately. Immediately upon arrival, things began to happen to them that they didn't understand and they had no control over.
Right.
So the outcome for them may not be as good as the outcome is for these boys.
Right.
For the opposite reason, that they were control was taken from them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Talk about it tomorrow.
All right. So that then is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We'd be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.